dismissed that. What mattered was that I see her, that she was right there with me, even after I fucked it all up. Dinner was simple, salad and spaghetti. Monica cooked and served, and Ava glowed. Wine flowed freely, bottle after bottle opened and emptied. Everyone relaxed, laughed. Even me. Lacey's presence was a welcome buffer. She was the newest addition to the group and got the most attention. That gave me some breathing room. And as time passed, Ava became flushed and bright-eyed with intoxication. She slid her chair closer and closer to my own, until she was pressed against my side, her body soft and warm. Beneath the table, her hands and feet were busy, touching me often. Her voice grew huskier, and her laugh became lusty. Ava had once confessed that drinking made her horny, but I would know the signs anywhere regardless. It was nearing 2 in the morning when Lacey's yawn turned everyone's thoughts to ending the night. Monica walked with us to the stairs.
"Your things are already in your room," she said, speaking to both Ava and me. "Let's all plan on sleeping in and having brunch."
My wife frowned. I caught her by the elbow. Clearly Ava hadn't considered that we'd be sharing a room and a bed, but that inevitability had never been far from my mind. "Thank you, Monica. We'll see you later today." She laughed and cupped my face in her hands, kissing my cheek.
"I'm so happy, Gideon. You're just what Ava needs."
I managed a smile, aware that her sentiments would change if she knew how dangerous it was for her daughter to share a bed with a man whose violent nightmares posed a serious risk of harm. Ava and I started up the stairs.
"Gideon?"
I cut her off. "Where are we going?" She glanced aside at me.
"All the way up."
Ava's room was indeed at the top, taking up the entirety of what was once probably a large attic. The low-pitched gabled roof made for a comfortable ceiling height and would offer an impressive view of Long Island Sound during daylight. The king-size bed sat in the middle of the room, facing the wall of windows. Its brass headboard formed a divider of sorts, with a couch placed against the back to anchor a small seating area. The ensuite bathroom filled the other side of the space. Ava faced me.
"How is this going to work?"
"Let me worry about that." I was used to worrying about sharing a bed with my wife. It was something I did daily. Of all the things that jeopardized our relationship, my atypical sexual parasomnia, as Dr. Peterson called it, topped the list. I had no defense against my fucked up mind when I was sleeping. On rough nights, I was a physical danger to the one I loved most. Ava crossed her arms.
"Somehow, I don't think you're as interested in waiting till the wedding as I am."
I stared at her, realizing we were thinking of two entirely different things. "I'll take the couch."
"Take me on the couch, you mean? You've..."
"I'll fuck you there, given the chance," I said tightly. "But I'm not sleeping with you." Her mouth opened to retort, then closed, as comprehension hit her.
"Oh."
The entire mood changed. The challenge in her eyes and voice altered to subdued caution. It killed me to see it, to know that I could be the source of any unhappiness in her life. Still, I was too selfish to walk away. One day her family would see that about me and hate me for it. Aggravated, I looked for my duffel bag and found it atop a luggage rack by the bathroom.
I went to it, needing to do something other than see Ava's disillusionment and regret.
"I don't want you sleeping on the couch," she called after me.
I wasn't planning on sleeping. I grabbed my grooming kit and went into the bathroom. The lights came on as soon as I entered, revealing a pedestal sink and freestanding tub. I turned on the taps in the floating glass shower and took off my shirt. The door opened and Ava stepped in. I glanced at her, pausing with my hand on the fly of my slacks. Her hot gaze slid all over me, missing nothing, touching everything. She took a deep breath.
"We have to talk."
I was aroused by her admiration and furious with my own shortcomings. Talking was the last thing I wanted to do. "Go to bed, Ava."
"Not until I say what I have to say."
"I'm taking a shower."
"Fine."
She pulled her tank top up and over her head. Everything roiling inside me coalesced into a single driving need. I straightened, every muscle tense and straining. She reached behind her back to unsnap her bra. My dick hardened painfully as her lush, firm tits bounced into view. I'd never been a breast man before Ava. Now, God, they made me lose my mind. "Talking isn't what's going to happen if you take your clothes off," I warned, my cock throbbing.
"You're going to hear me out, Ace, whether it's out here or in the shower. Your choice."
"Tonight isn't the night to push me." She dropped her shorts. I had my pants opened and on the floor before she finished stepping out of the silky triangle she wore as underwear. Despite the building humidity that fogged the room, her nipples tightened into hard points. Her gaze fell to my cock. As if she imagined tasting me, her tongue slid along her lower lip. My hunger for her rumbled up from my chest in a near growl. Ava shivered at the sound. I wanted to touch her, to put my hands and mouth all over her. Instead, I let her look her fill. Her breathing picked up. Seeing the effect I had on her was painfully, undeniably erotic. What I felt when she looked at me, it moved me. She remained by the door. Steam drifted over the top of the shower, encroaching on the edges of the mirror and misting on my skin. Her eyes dropped to my throat.
"I haven't been completely honest with you, Gideon."
My hands fisted reflexively. She couldn't say those words to me and not redirect my attention. "What are you talking about?"
"Just now, when we were in the bedroom, I could sense you pulling away, and there was this panic I felt."
Ava fell silent for a long moment. I waited, reining my lust back with a deep breath.
"Holding off until the wedding? It's not just about Dr. Peterson's advice, or the way you cope with fights."
She swallowed.
"It's about me, too. You know how I was. I told you. Sex was all twisted up for me for a long time."
She shifted on her feet, shame bowing her head. It made me sick to see it. It struck me then that I'd been too wrapped up in my own reactions to the events of the last week without thinking about what my wife was going through. "It was for me too," I reminded her gruffly. "But it's never been that way between us." She caught my gaze.
"No, never."
My clenched fists relaxed.
"But that doesn't mean I can't still twist things up in my head," she went on. You walked into the bathroom, and my first thought was that I should fuck you. Like if we have sex, it'll fix everything. You won't be mad anymore, and I'll have your love again.
You always have it. You always will.
I know that.
And from the set of her jaw, I could see that she did.
But that didn't stop the voice in my head from telling me I'm risking too much. That I'm going to lose you if I don't put out. That you're too sexual to go so long without it.
God. How many times and ways could I fuck this up? The way I talked to you on the beach. I'm an asshole, Ava.
Sometimes.
She smiled.
You're also the best thing that's ever happened to me. That voice has been screwing me up for years, but it doesn't have the same power anymore. Because of you. You've made me stronger.
Ava. Words failed me.
I want you to think about that. Not your nightmares, or my parents, or anything else. You're exactly what I need. Just the way you are. And I love you so much.
I walked toward her.
I still want to wait,
she said quietly, even as her eyes betrayed how I affected her. She grabbed my wrist when I reached for her, her gaze holding mine.
Let me do all the touching.
I inhaled sharply. I can't agree to that. Her mouth curved.
Yes, you can. You're stronger than I am, Gideon. You have more control. Greater willpower.
Her other hand reached up to graze my chest. I caught it and pressed it against my skin. Is that what you need me to prove? My control?
You're doing fine.
She pressed a kiss over my pounding heart.
I'm the one who needs to figure things out.
The tone of her voice was soft, almost crooning. I was raging inside, burning with lust and love, and she was trying to gentle me. I almost laughed at the impossibility of that. Then she stepped into me, her plush body fitting tightly against mine. Her arms hugging me so hard there wasn't any space between us. I crushed her close, my head bowing over hers. I didn't know until that moment how badly I'd needed to feel her like that. Tender and accepting, bared in every way possible. She leaned her cheek against my chest.
I love you so much,
she whispered.
Can you feel it?
It overwhelmed me. Her love for me. My love for her. Every time she said the words, they hit me like blows.
You said once,
she whispered,
that there's a moment while we're making love, when I open and you open, and we're together. I want to give you that all the time, Gideon.
The suggestion that there was something missing in what we had stiffened my spine. Does it really matter how and when we feel it?
You could argue that.
Her head tilted back.
I won't disagree. But if you're on the other side of the world when you need reassurance from me, I need to know that I can give it to you.
You'll be with me, I muttered, frustrated.
Not always.
Her hand cupped my cheek.
There will be times when you need to be in two places at once. Eventually, you'll trust me to fill in for you.
I studied her, looking for cracks in her resolve. What I saw was determination. I didn't totally understand what she hoped to achieve, but I wasn't getting in the way. If she was going to change or evolve, I needed to be part of that process, if I expected to keep her.
Kiss me. The words left my throat as a low command, but she must have sensed the yearning behind it. She offered her mouth, and I took it hard, too hard, my hunger violent and greedy. I lifted her off her feet, wanting her to wrap her legs around me, to open to me so I could push inside her. She didn't. She hung there, her hands stroking through my hair, her body trembling with the same unquenchable desire I felt. The flicks of her tongue against mine were maddening, taunting me with the memory of that tongue stroking over the rest of my body. I struggled to pull away when everything inside me was goading me to push further. I need to be inside you, I said hoarsely, hating that I had to voice what was so obvious. Why make me plead?
You are?
She nuzzled her cheek against mine.
I want you to. I'm so wet for you right now. I feel so empty it hurts.
Ava, Christ. Sweat slid down my back. Let me have you. Her lips touched mine. Her fingers raked through my hair.
Let me love you another way.
Could I handle that? Hell, I had to. I'd vowed to give her whatever she needed, to be the beginning and end of everything for her. I set her down and went to the shower, shutting the taps off. Then I moved to the tub, stopped the drain, and started filling it.
Are you mad?
She asked in a low voice I barely heard over the rush of water. I looked at her, saw the way her arms crossed her chest, and gave away her vulnerability. I told her the truth. I love you. Ava's lower lip trembled, then curved in a beautiful smile that took my breath away. I'd once told her I would take her any way I could get her. That was more true now than it was then. Come here, angel. Her arms dropped to her sides, and she came. The shifting of the bed woke me. Blinking, I registered the sunlight flooding the room. Ava's face came into focus, haloed by the light and bright with a wide grin.
Morning, sleepyhead, she said.
The night came flooding back to me. The long bath, with my wife's soapy hands running through my hair and over my skin. Her voice, as she talked about the wedding. Her sensual laugh, as I tickled her in bed. Her sighs and moans as we kissed until our lips were sore and swollen, making out like teenagers who weren't ready to go all the way. I won't lie. Sex would have taken things to another level. But the night was memorable all the same. It ranked right up there with other all-nighters we'd shared. Then I remembered where I was and what that meant. I slept in the bed. The realization was like a bucket of cold water dumped over me. Yep. She gave a happy little bounce. You did. To have done so was irresponsible in the worst way. I hadn't even taken the medicine prescribed to help mitigate the risk.
Don't scowl like that,
she chastised, bending down to kiss the space between my brows. You slept hard. When's the last time you had a good night's sleep? I sat up. That's not the point, and you know it.
Listen, Ace, we've got enough to be stressed about. We don't need to get worked up over things that go right.
She stood.
If you want to be mad about something, be mad at Carrie for packing this.
She shrugged out of the short white robe she was wearing, revealing a tiny dark blue bikini that hugged what little it managed to cover. Jesus,
All the blood in my body rushed to my dick. It waved beneath the sheet in hearty appreciation. Ava laughed, her eyes dropping to where my erection tented the luxuriously thick cotton.
You like?
Holding her arms out, she turned, showing off the Brazilian cut of the bikini bottom. My wife's ass was as voluptuous as her tits. I knew she thought she was too curvy, but I couldn't disagree more. I'd never been one to appreciate overly generous assets on a woman, but Ava changed that for me, as she'd changed so many other things. I hadn't a clue what kind of material the bikini was made of, but it was seamless and hugged her skin so perfectly it looked painted on. Thin straps at the neck, hips, and back brought to mind thoughts of tying her up and taking what I needed. Come here, I ordered, reaching for her. She danced out of reach. Tossing the sheet back, I surged to my feet.
Down, boy!
She teased, darting around the sofa. I fisted my cock, stroking it hard from root to tip as I stalked her into the seating area. That's not going to work. Her eyes sparkled with laughter. Ava? She snatched something off the back of the chair and ran to the door.
See you downstairs.
I lunged for her and missed, finding myself facing the back of the slammed door instead. Damn it. I brushed my teeth, threw on swim trunks and a t-shirt, and followed her down. I was the last one to make an appearance, discovering the rest of the group already seated at the kitchen island and eating heartily. A quick glance at the clock told me it was almost noon. I looked for Ava and found her sitting on the patio with a phone to her ear. She'd covered herself in a strapless white skirt thing. I noted that Monica and Lacey were both dressed similarly, with bathing suits partially hidden by barely there cover-ups. Like me, Carrie, Stanton, and Martin had on trunks and t-shirts.
She always calls her dad on Saturdays, Carrie said, following my gaze.
I watched my wife for a long minute, looking for any signs of distress. She wasn't smiling anymore, but she didn't look upset.
Here you go, Gideon.
Monica set a plate of waffles and bacon in front of me.
Would you like coffee? Or maybe a mimosa?
I glanced at Ava again before answering. Coffee, black, would be great, thank you. Monica moved toward the coffee maker on the counter. I joined her. She smiled at me, her lips painted the same pink as the halter tie of her swimsuit.
Did you sleep well?
Like a rock. Which was true, though that was pure luck. The entire household might have been woken up by a fight between Ava and me, with her struggling to fight me off, while my dreams imagined she was someone else. Glancing over my shoulder at Carrie, I caught his grim gaze. He'd seen what could happen. He didn't trust me with Ava any more than I trusted myself. I grabbed an extra mug out of the cupboard Monica reached into. I can get it, I told her.
Nonsense.
I didn't argue with her. I let her pour my coffee, then followed suit by pouring a cup for my wife. After adding Ava's preferred amount of half and half, I grabbed the handles of both mugs in one hand. Then I picked up the plate Monica had served me and headed out to the patio. Ava glanced up at me as I set everything on the table beside her and took the seat on the other side. She'd left her hair down. Blonde tendrils fluttered around her bare face as the breeze ruffled through it. I loved her this way, earthy and natural. Here and now, she was my own piece of heaven on earth.
Thank you,
she mouthed, before snatching up a piece of bacon. She munched quickly, while Victor said something I couldn't hear.
Eventually I'll focus on Crossroads, she said, which is Gideon's charitable foundation. I hope to be active in that. And I've been thinking about maybe going back to school.
My brows rose.
I'd like to be a sounding board for Gideon, she continued, looking straight at me. Obviously, he's managed well enough without me, and he's got a great team of advisors. But I'd like him to be able to talk shop with me, and at least understand what he's saying.
I tapped my chest. I'll teach you. She blew me a kiss.
In the meantime, I'm going to be crazy busy trying to pull off a wedding in less than 3 weeks. I haven't even picked out invitations yet. I know it's going to be hard for some of the family to get time off. Could you send out an email in the meantime, just to get the ball rolling?
Ava bit into the bacon while her father talked.
We haven't discussed it, she replied, swallowing quickly. But I'm not planning on inviting them. They lost the right to be part of my life when they disowned Mom. And it's not like they've ever reached out to me, so I don't think they'd care anyway.
I looked across the span of sand to the water beyond it. I wasn't interested in meeting Ava's maternal grandparents either. They'd rejected Monica for becoming pregnant with Ava out of wedlock. Anyone who found my wife's existence distasteful was better off not crossing paths with me. I listened to Ava's side of the conversation for another few minutes, and then she said goodbye. When she set her phone on the table, she gave a big sigh that sounded like relief. Everything good? I asked, studying her.
Yeah, he's better today.
She glanced inside the house.
You didn't want to eat with the family?
Am I being antisocial? She smiled wryly.
Totally. I can't hold it against you, though.
I gave her an inquiring look.
I realized I haven't included your mother in the wedding planning, she explained.
Settling deeper into the chair to conceal the stiffening of my spine, I told her, You don't have to. Her lips pursed. She reached for another piece of bacon, then handed it to me. True love. Ava. I waited until she looked at me. It's your day. Don't feel obligated to do anything but enjoy yourself. And have sex with me, which should fall under enjoying yourself. That brought her smile back.
It's going to be wonderful no matter what.
I voiced what was left unsaid. But?
I don't know.
She tucked her hair behind her ear and shrugged.
Thinking about my mom's parents has me thinking about grandparents, and your mother is going to be our children's grandmother. I don't want that to be awkward.
I bristled. The thought of my mother and a child I created with Ava together in any way filled me with a riot of emotions I couldn't deal with now. Let's cross that bridge when we come to it.
Isn't our wedding the place to start?
You don't like my mother, I snapped. Don't pretend you do for the sake of children who don't exist yet. Ava jerked back slightly. She blinked at me, then reached for her coffee.
Did you try the waffles?
Knowing it wasn't in my wife's nature to steer away from sensitive topics, I still let her do it. If we were going to get into the subject of my mother, we could do it later. She set her mug down and tore off a piece of waffle with her fingers. She held it out to me. I took it for what it was, a peace offering. Then I stood and took her hand, leading her out to the beach for a walk to clear my head.
You're welcome.
Turning my head, I saw Carrie grinning at me from where he lay on the sand a few feet away.
I know you appreciate my packing that bikini, he elaborated, jerking his chin toward Ava, who was standing thigh-deep in the water.
Her hair was damp and slicked back from her face. Oversized aviator sunglasses shielded her eyes from the sun as she threw a frisbee back and forth with Martin and Lacey.
Did you help her pick that out?
Monica asked, smiling from beneath an elegant wide-brim hat. I'd watched her slather sunscreen all over Ava, a job I wanted for myself. But I didn't press the point. Sometimes Monica mothered Ava as if she were still a child. While my wife rolled her eyes at me, I could see that she basked in the attention. It was a very different relationship from the one I had with my own mother. I couldn't say that my mom didn't love me, because she did, in her own way, within boundaries. Monica's love, on the other hand, had no limits, something Ava found stifling at times. Who could say which was better or worse? To be loved too much or too little? God knew I loved Ava beyond all reason. A sudden sea breeze snapped me out of it. Monica hung on to her hat as Carrie turned his head toward her.
I did, Carrie replied, rolling over onto his stomach. She was looking at one pieces, and I had to intervene. That bikini was made for her.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I had my arms crossed over my bent knees so I could take in my fill of her. She was wet and nearly naked, and I was hot for her. As if she sensed we were talking about her, Ava crooked her finger at me, beckoning me to come to her. I nodded, but waited for a few moments before rising from where I'd been sitting in the sand. The chill of the water made me suck in a sharp breath, but I was grateful for it a moment later when she surged toward me and plastered herself against me. Her legs wrapped around my waist, her smiling mouth puckering into a heated kiss against my lips.
"You're not bored, are you?" she asked.
Then she twisted in a way that sent us both tumbling into the water. I felt her hand cup my cock and give it a gentle squeeze. She wriggled away when I came up for air, laughing as she pulled her sunglasses off and tried to run onto the beach. I caught her by the waist and took us both down, absorbing the fall onto the sand on my back. Her squeal of surprise was my reward, as was the feel of her cool, sleek body writhing against my own. Turning, I pinned her down. My hair hung around my face, dripping water onto hers. She stuck her tongue out at me. "The things I'd do to you if we didn't have an audience," I told her.
"We're newlyweds. You can kiss me."
Looking up, I saw all eyes on us. I also spotted Ben Clancy and Angus closing in on a house two lots down. Even at this distance, the glint of light from the patio betrayed a camera's lens. I started to sit up, but Ava's legs tangled with mine and held me down.
"Kiss me like you love me, Ace," she challenged. "I dare you."
I remembered saying those words to her, and how she'd kissed my breath away. Lowering my head, I sealed my mouth over hers.
5. I'd been dozing more than sleeping when I heard my bedroom door open. After spending a weekend at the beach, the sounds of energetic Manhattan filtering into the apartment had both soothed and excited me. I had a long way to go before I could call myself a New Yorker, but the city already felt like home to me now.
"Rise and shine, baby girl!"
Carrie shouted. A moment later, he bounded onto my bed, nearly bouncing me off. Sitting up, I shoved the hair back from my face. Then I shoved him. "I'm sleeping in, if you hadn't noticed."
"It's after 9 o'clock, lazy bones," he drawled,
settling on his stomach with his heels kicked up behind him.
"I know you're unemployed, but don't you have a shit ton of stuff to get done?"
As I drifted in and out of sleep, I'd been thinking about everything on my to-do list. There was so much to scratch off, it was overwhelming.
"Yeah."
"Such enthusiasm. I need coffee for that. What about you?" I looked at him, noting that he was dressed in olive cargo pants and a charcoal V-neck T-shirt. What's on your agenda today? I'm supposed to take it easy, so I can be ready to hit the catwalk tomorrow. For now, I'm all yours. Reaching behind me, I propped my pillows up and scooted back against them. I need to call the wedding planner, the interior designer, and get the invitation thing sorted out. You also need a dress. I know. I wrinkled my nose. That's not on my list today, though. Are you kidding? Even if you bought a dress off the rack, which we both know you can't. If it needs any alterations whatsoever, Mrs. Big Boobs and Voluptuous Ass, you're pushing it time-wise. Carrie was right. I'd realized I had to find something custom after photos of Gideon and me kissing on the beach had spread all over the internet on Sunday. The number of Steal This Look blog posts on my beachwear boggled my mind. Since the bikini I'd worn had been discontinued, prices for used ones on resale sites were staggering. I don't know what to do, Carrie, I admitted. It's not like I have any designers on speed dial. Lucky for you, it's Fashion Week. That woke me up and sent my thoughts racing around in circles. No shit? How did I miss that? You've been mostly wallowing in misery, he reminded dryly. You know your mom will be hitting a few shows, rubbing elbows and spending thousands. Go with her. I rubbed the sleep out of my eyes. I'm afraid to talk to her about anything after she flipped out yesterday. He made a face. Yeah, she had a full-on Monica meltdown. I swear we just had a conversation about her turning my wedding into a publicity op, and now she's acting like any press is a nightmare. Well, to be fair, she was specific about tabloid coverage. Is there any other kind nowadays? I sighed, knowing I was due for another talk with my mother. That wouldn't be fun. I don't know what she's so upset about. I couldn't have asked for a better picture of Gideon and me if I'd tried. It's perfect for making Corinne Giroux look desperate. True. His grin faded. And honestly, it's good to see Gideon so into you. He had a stick up his ass most of the weekend. I was starting to think he was cooling off. Too late for that. I kept my tone light, but it had torn me up to see how uncomfortable Gideon was with any sign of affection. Friendship seemed to be the closest connection he could tolerate outside our marriage. It wasn't personal, Carrie. Remember how he acted at the Vidal Records party at his parents' house? Vaguely. He shrugged. Not my problem anyway. Do you want me to reach out to some friends and see if we can't put the word out while we're strutting our stuff this week? Your bikini blew up the internet. I can't imagine any designer turning down the chance to design your wedding dress. I groaned. How amazing would it be to knock Gideon's socks off with a glamorous made just for me dress? I don't know. It would suck royally if word got out about how soon it's all going down. I don't want a media circus. It's bad enough we can't even go out of town for the weekend without some creepy photographer following us. Ava, you have to do something. Wincing, I confessed. I haven't told Mom about the September 22nd date. Get on it! Now! I know. Baby girl! He blew his bangs out of his face. You could have the best wedding planner in the world, but your mom is the only woman who can pull off an epic wedding, an Ava-worthy wedding, in a matter of days. We can't agree on style. Carrie hopped off the bed. Hate to point it out, but Mama knows best. She decorated this place and buys you clothes. Her style is your style. I glared at him. She likes shopping more than I do. Sure thing, sweet cheeks. He blew me a kiss. I'll fix you a cup of coffee. Throwing back the covers, I got out of bed. My best friend had a point. Sort of. But I pulled outfits together my own way. I reached for my phone on the nightstand to call my mom when Gideon's face lit up my screen. Hey, I answered.
How's your morning so far?
It tickled me to hear his clipped business-like tone. My husband's head was in the game, but he was still thinking of me. I just rolled out of bed, so I can't really say. How's yours? You finished buying up everything in Manhattan?
Not quite. Have to leave something for the competition. Otherwise, where's the fun?
You do love your challenges. I headed into the bathroom, my gaze sliding over the tub before pausing on the shower. Just thinking about my husband naked and wet made me hot. What do you think would have happened if I hadn't resisted you to begin with? What if I'd just fallen into bed with you when you asked?
You would have blown my mind, just as you did. That was inevitable. Have lunch with me.
I smiled. I'm supposed to be planning a wedding.
I hear a yes in there. It's a business lunch, but you'll enjoy it.
Looking in the mirror, I saw a wildly tousled bedhead and creases in my cheeks from the pillow. What time?
Noon. Raoul will be waiting for you downstairs shortly before.
I should be responsible and say no.
But you won't. I miss you.
My breath caught. He tossed that out there nonchalantly, the way some men would say, "I'll call you." But Gideon wasn't the type of man to say anything he didn't mean. Still, I craved to feel the emotion behind the words. "You're too busy to miss me."
"It's not the same,"
he said. There was a pause.
"It doesn't feel right not having you here in the crossfire."
I was glad he couldn't see me smile. There was an unmistakable trace of perplexity in his voice. It shouldn't make a difference to him that I wasn't working floors below his office, where he couldn't see me. But it did. "What are you wearing?"
I asked. "Clothes."
"Duh. A 3-piece suit?"
"Is there any other kind?"
Not for him, there wasn't. "What color?"
"Black." "Why?"
It makes me hot thinking about it. Which was true, but not why I was asking. "What color tie?"
"White."
"Shirt?"
"Also white."
Closing my eyes, I pictured him. I remembered that combination. Pinstripes. He'd go with a pinstriped suit to keep the business look with that shirt and tie combination.
"Yes. Ava."
His voice lowered.
"I have no idea why this conversation is making me hard, but it is."
"Because you know I'm seeing you in my head, all dark and dangerous and sexy as hell. You know how much it turns me on to look at you, even if it's only by memory."
"Meet me here, early. Come now."
I laughed. "Good things come to those who wait, Mr. Cross. I'll be cutting it close as it is."
"Ava."
"I love you." I hung up and faced myself squarely in the mirror. With the picture of Gideon freshly in my mind, I found the sleepy mess looking back at me totally insufficient. I'd changed my look when I'd thought Gideon had left me for Corinne. I had dubbed the result New Ava. In the time since, my hair had grown past its former shoulder length and my highlights had grown out with it.
"You decent?"
Carrie called from the bedroom.
"Yes."
I faced him when he strolled into the bathroom with my coffee in hand. "Change of plan."
"Oh?"
He leaned into the counter and crossed his arms. "I'm hopping in the shower. You're going to find me a fabulous hair salon that can fit me in about 30 minutes from now."
"Okay."
"Then I'm going to lunch, and you're going to make a few calls for me. In return, I'm taking you out to dinner tonight. You pick the place."
"I know that look you've got," he said. "You're on a mission."
"Damn straight." I showered quickly since I didn't wash my hair. Then I hurried over to my closet, having spent the time in the bathroom thinking about what I wanted to wear. It took a few minutes to locate the right dress. Bright white, with a built-in bra and fitted tulip skirt, it draped beautifully across the bust and thighs. The color and cotton fabric kept it casual, while the fit was both elegant and sexy. It took a little longer to find the right pair of shoes. I considered nude for a long time. In the end, I went with a pair of strappy heeled sandals in aqua blue that matched Gideon's eyes. I had a clutch that matched and a set of opal earrings that had the same bright blue fire. I laid it all out on the bed to make sure it worked, standing back in my bathrobe to eye the ensemble carefully.
Nice, Carrie said, as he came up behind me.
I bought those shoes, I reminded him, and the clutch, and jewelry. He laughed and tossed an arm around my shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. Your hairstylist is here. I told the desk to send him up.
Really?
I can't see you go into any old salon without making a scene. You'll have to find someone you trust to style you in private appointments. In the meantime, Mario can rock a haircut.
How about color?
Color?
His arm dropped, and he faced me.
What are you thinking?
I caught his hand and started out of the room. Stick with me, kid. Mario was a compact bundle of energy with a stylish flop of purple-tipped curls. Shorter than me and hard with muscle, he set up shop in my bathroom while gossiping with Carrie about people they knew, dropping names I sometimes recognized.
A natural blonde,
he gushed when he first got his hands on my hair.
You, my dear, are a rare breed.
Make me blonder, I told him. Taking a step back, he stroked his goatee thoughtfully.
How much blonder?
What's the opposite of black? Carrie whistled.
Mario sifted my hair through his fingers. You've already got platinum highlights.
Let's take it up a notch. I want to keep the length, but let's do something edgy. More layers. A little spiky on the tips. Maybe some bangs to frame my eyes. I sat up straighter.
I'm sassy, sexy, and smart enough to flaunt it.
He glanced at Carrie.
I like her.
My best friend crossed his arms and nodded.
Me too.
Stepping back from the mirror, I took in the full effect. I loved what Mario had done with my hair. It fell in piecey, choppy layers around my shoulders and face. He'd heavily foiled my crown and around my face, creating an overall look of lighter hair without altering the dark gold strands underneath. Then he'd teased the roots just enough to give me some sexy volume. My weekend tan only made my hair look lighter. I'd gone a little wild with a smoky eye look, using grays and blacks to play up my gray irises. To balance that, I'd kept the rest of my makeup neutral, including my lips, which were glossed in a nude tint. When I juxtaposed my reflection with the image of Gideon in my mind, I saw just the result I was looking for. My husband was the definition of tall, dark, and gorgeous. His hair was pure black, as dark as ink and just as lustrous. He wore dark colors more often than not, which focused attention on the chiseled planes of his face and the striking color of his eyes. I'd pulled off being a complementary opposite, the yang to his yin. Bam. I looked good.
Whoa! Hotness!
Carrie raked me with an appreciative glance as I rushed through the living room.
What kind of lunch is this that you're going to?
I glanced at my phone, cursing silently to see that 10 minutes had passed since Raoul texted that he was waiting downstairs.
I don't know. Something to do with business, Gideon said.
Well, you are spectacular arm candy.
Thanks. But I wanted to be more than that. I wanted to be a weapon in Gideon's arsenal. I'd have to earn it, though, and I relished the challenge. If I could manage to contribute something, anything, to the conversation today, I'd be happy. If I was out of my depth, though, I could at least make him proud to be seen with me.
He's going to be hobbled by his blue balls by the time the wedding comes around,
he called after me.
You can only prime a pump so many times before it has to blow.
Gross, Carrie. I opened the front door. I'll text the numbers of the designer and wedding planner, and I'll be back in a couple hours. I was lucky to catch the elevator without a wait. When I stepped out onto the sidewalk, outside the lobby, and Raoul climbed out from behind the wheel of the Benz, I knew I was on the right track when he gave me the once-over. He kept it professional, but I could tell he liked what he saw. Sorry I lagged, I told him as he opened the rear door for me. I wasn't quite ready when you texted. There was almost a hint of a smile on his stern face.
I don't think he'll mind.
During the ride, I texted Carrie the phone numbers of Blair Ash, the interior designer working on the penthouse renovations, and Kristen Washington, the wedding planner, and asked him to arrange meetings with them. By the time I was done and glanced out the window, I realized we weren't headed to the crossfire. When we arrived at Tableau 1, I wasn't totally surprised. The popular restaurant was a co-venture between Gideon and his friend Arnaldo Ricci. Arnaldo had been unknown when Gideon discovered him in Italy. Now he was a celebrity chef. As Raoul pulled into the valet area, I scooted forward in the seat. "Could you do me a favor while we're having lunch?" He turned his head to look at me. "Can you find out where Anne Lucas is right now? Today's as good a day as any for me to rattle her." I was dressed to impress. Might as well get as much mileage out of that as possible.
"It's possible," he said carefully. "I'll have to discuss it with Mr. Cross."
I almost backed off. Then I remembered that Raoul technically worked for me, too. If I wanted to step up my game, wasn't it best to start at home? "No, I have to, and I will. Just find her for me. I'll take care of the rest."
"All right."
He still sounded reluctant.
"You ready? They're going to take your picture as soon as they see you."
He jerked his chin forward, and I followed the gesture to where a half dozen paparazzi stood outside the entrance. "Oh, boy." I took a deep breath. "Got it." Raoul got out and rounded the car to open my door. The moment I straightened, camera flashes lit up the already bright day. I kept my face straight and walked briskly into the restaurant. The place was packed and buzzing with a multitude of loud conversations taking place. Still, I found Gideon almost immediately. He spotted me, too. Whatever he'd been saying before I arrived died on his lips. The hostess said something to me, but I didn't hear her. I was too focused on Gideon, whose stunning face took my breath away, as it always did, but gave me no clue to his thoughts. Pushing his chair back, Gideon stood with powerful grace. The four men seated with him glanced my way, then stood as well. There were two women with them, both of whom swiveled in their seats to look at me. I remembered to smile and started toward their large round table situated near the center of the room, making my way carefully over the hardwood floors, trying to ignore the stares I garnered as the focus of Gideon's dark gaze. My hand shook a little as I reached for his arm. "I apologize for being late." He slid his arm around me and brushed his lips over my temple. His fingers flexed into my waist with near painful pressure, and I pulled back. He looked at me with such heated intensity and ferocious love that my pulse skipped. Pleasure rushed through me. I knew that look, understood I'd given him a little buzz he was struggling to process. It was nice to know I could still do that. It made me want to try my hardest to find just the right dress to walk down the aisle in. I looked at everyone at the table. "Hello?" Gideon pulled his gaze away from my face.
"It's my pleasure to introduce you to my wife, Ava."
Startled, I turned wide eyes toward him. The world thought we were only engaged. I hadn't realized he was making the fact that we were married known. The heat in his gaze softened to warm amusement.
"These are the board members of the Crossroads Foundation."
Shock turned into love and gratitude so fast, I swayed with it. He held me up, as he always did, in all ways. At a time when I was likely to feel a little adrift, he was giving me something else. He introduced everyone to me, then pulled out my seat for me. Lunch passed in a whirl of excellent food and intense conversation. I was happy to hear that my idea for adding Crossroads to Gideon's bio on his website had ramped up traffic to the Foundation's site, and that my suggested overhauls to the Crossroads site, now in place, had increased applications for assistance. and I loved how close Gideon sat to me, holding my hand beneath the table. When they asked me for input, I shook my head. I'm not qualified to offer anything valuable at this point. You're all doing an amazing job. Cindy Bello, the CEO, gave me a big smile. Thank you, Ava. I would like to sit in on board meetings as an observer and get up to speed. If I can't contribute ideas, I hope to find another way to lend a hand. Now that you mention it, Lin Feng, the VP of Operations, began, many of our recipients want to acknowledge and thank Crossroads for its support. They hold luncheons or dinners, which also act as fundraisers. They would love to have Gideon accept on behalf of the Foundation, but his schedule precludes that most of the time. I leaned briefly into Gideon's shoulder. You want me to nudge him some more for you? Actually, she smiled, Gideon suggested that you might step in and handle those. We're talking about you representing the Foundation in person. I blinked at her. You're kidding. Not at all. My gaze turned to Gideon. He tilted his head in acknowledgement. I tried to wrap my brain around the idea. I'm not much of a consolation prize.
Ava.
Gideon conveyed a wealth of disapproval in that one word. I'm not being modest, I countered. Why would anyone want to hear me speak? You're accomplished, brilliant, and a wonderful orator. I could listen to you give a speech all day. Your name sells tickets. Offering me up instead just creates an obligation. That's not helpful.
Are you done?
He asked smoothly. I narrowed my eyes at him.
Look at the people in your life and how you've helped them.
Like me. He didn't say it, but he didn't have to.
If you put your mind to it, you could deliver a powerful message.
If I can add, Lin interjected, when Gideon can't make it, one of us goes instead. She gestured at the rest of the board members. Having a member of the Cross family personally attend would be wonderful. No one would be disappointed. The Cross family. That had me sucking in a sharp breath. I didn't know if Jeffrey Cross had left any other family members behind. What was indisputable was that Gideon was the most visible reminder of his infamous father. My husband didn't remember the man who was known as a fraudster and coward. What he remembered was a father who had loved and nurtured him. Gideon worked so hard and had achieved so much, driven by the need to change what people associated with the Cross name. Now I had the name, too. One day in the future, we would have children who carried it. I had the same responsibility as Gideon to make our surname something our kids would be proud of. I looked at Gideon. He held my gaze, unwavering and focused.
Two places at once,
he murmured. My heart felt like it was squeezed inside my chest. This was more than I'd expected, sooner than I had expected it. Gideon had gone straight to something personal, something intimate and essential to who he was, something that meant a great deal to me as well, and that I could put my own stamp on. He had been waging the war to clear the stain on his name all alone, as he'd had to fight all of his battles. That he trusted me to join him in this, of all things, was a declaration of love as wonderful to me as the ring on my finger. My grip on his hand tightened. I tried to show him, with just a look, how touched I was. He lifted our joined hands to his lips, his gaze saying the same thing back to me. I love you. Our server came by to clear our plates.
We'll talk about it,
he said aloud. Then he looked at the others.
I hate to cut this short, but I have an afternoon meeting coming up. I could be generous and leave Ava with you, but I won't.
Smiles and laughter went around the table. He looked at me.
Ready?
Give me a minute, I murmured, looking forward to the opportunity to kiss him the way I needed to. From the glimmer in his eyes, I suspected he knew exactly what I was thinking. Lin and Cindy both pushed to their feet and came along to the ladies' room. As we made our way through the restaurant, I looked for Arnaldo but didn't see him. That didn't surprise me, considering his commitments with the Food Network and other appearances. As much as I wanted to try to repair that relationship, I knew time would tell. Eventually, Arnaldo would see how much I loved my husband, that protecting him and being everything to him was the center of my life. Gideon and I challenged each other. We pushed each other to change and grow. Sometimes we hurt each other to accomplish something or make a point, which worried Dr. Peterson but somehow was working for us. We could forgive each other for anything except betrayal. It was inevitable that others, especially those close to us, would look at us from the outside and wonder how and why it worked, and whether it should. They couldn't understand, and I didn't blame them because I was only just starting to really grasp it myself, that we pushed ourselves harder than we ever pushed each other, because we wanted to be the best possible versions of ourselves, to be strong enough to be what the other needed. I used the restroom, then washed my hands, taking a moment to look in the mirror when I was done and fluff my hair. I wasn't sure how Mario had done it, but he'd given me a cut that gained more body the more I touched it. I caught Cindy's smile in the mirror and felt a little self-conscious. Then she pulled out a tube of bright red lipstick, and I relaxed. "Ava, I almost didn't recognize you. I love what you've done with your hair." Through the mirror, I looked for the person speaking to me. For a split second, I thought it was Corinne, and my heart rate kicked up. Then, I homed in on the face. "Hello?" Turning, I faced Ryan Landon's wife. When I'd first met Angela, she had worn her hair in an artful chignon, which disguised the length of her hair. With it down, the long black strands hung in a straight curtain that reached the middle of her back. She was tall and slender, her eyes a muted blue-gray. Her face was longer than Corinne's, and her features a bit less perfect, but she was still a knockout.